Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Would you join me again today in welcoming Marilyn Hickey to this broadcast? Praise God.
Thank you.
Marilyn, I was thinking back. You mentioned it right before we went on camera about the times back when on the Board of Regents at Oral Roberts University.
Yeah.
And twice a year we met there.
We did.
And some of the most wonderful times of my life those times.
Totally agree.
Just wonderful. Yeah. I remember the first time I went to ORU and then was blessed as so much to be on the flight crew of Brother Robert's airplane.
Yeah.
And so it dawned on my lightning fast mind that, hey, he couldn't get out of town without me. I was just I was a scriptural illiterate when I got there and don't know much now, but I know a whole lot more than I did then. Anyway, I noticed at this time I was still a few days away from hearing my first Kenneth Hagin tape. Mm. But I was so caught up in faith. I wanted it so badly. I was just consumed with my desire for it. And I noticed he used his faith on purpose. And it dawned on me, he uses his faith the way a mechanic uses a tool. He doesn't just shoot a scatter shot like we all used to do and just hope something happened. No, he's like a mechanic that would go to his toolbox and get a specific tool and use it on purpose. It inspired me forever.
Mm.
And then I thought, all I got to do now is find out how to get this. It wasn't but a matter of, just a few days. I was invited back to Fort Worth to preach at our home church, which is Grace Simple. And in the moment we drove to and stayed there at Mother and Dad's house. And of course, the moment we got there, Mother grabbed Gloria and here they went off. I said, Mommy, you got any tapes or anything to listen to? Yeah, look in there on that tape recorder. Great big old Webcore tape recorder about this big, you know. Kenneth E. Hagin. You can write your own ticket with God on one side and Paul's revelation on the other.
Yeah.
And I listened to, about 2.5 hours on both sides of that big 7-inch reel. I wound up underneath my mother's coffee table.
Oh, my goodness.
I had my New Testament in my pocket, which I carried all the time. I took it out. And all of a sudden, I was so caught up in it. I thought, the whole answer is right here. All I have to do is put this in my mouth. I can do this. I can do this. I have faith. It's in me now. I was just, I could hardly stand myself. Mm. I was so thrilled with it. And I'm just as thrilled with it today as I was back that thing.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Sweetest thing.
I want to hear more about Pakistan.
Well, Pakistan was interesting to me because when I started praying over nations, I had a warm heart.
Let me interrupt you just there for a moment, because I heard you say this.
Yeah.
That and where you stand before a map of nations and you pray for them, literally praying for the nations, not just praying for them, but you have them in your vision, in your eyes.
Right.
I think that is so vitally important. That really impressed me.
Well, you know, I memorized the nations of the world. For 1 year, I prayed every day over every nation.
My
goodness. But, I mean, it wasn't long prayer. It took about 1.5 hours at the most. And so I would just hit them. But when I hit the Islamic nations, I would stop. It was like a fire in my heart.
Yeah, it lit up, didn't it?
Yeah, it lit up. And a man came to our city from Pakistan, a Christian leader, and wanted people to come and speak in Pakistan. And I met with him, and he said, Well, if you say you'll come, you have to come, because most Americans back out. So I said, I will come, and I will do it. So we set a time, and I went over and met with these pastors, Christian pastors, who were really very afraid. And so I said, you know, I believe, and I saw that angel in the room, towering above.
Amen.
Yeah. And so I said, I believe God will take care of us, and I'm going to advertise. So I put up, all these signs. I had my head covered. Dressed beautifully. And so I put my face, you know, with covered head. And then I said, come and be healed. Well, you know, I had people who said to me, well, nobody will come because you're a woman. But the first day, we had 4,000 people. And by the last, we had over 20,000. So, Kenneth, I literally got infected with Pakistan. And I thought, if these people can be reached with healing, because I always taught a miracle of Jesus and prayed for the sick and invited people to be saved, always, all together. And so I thought, this could be a marvelous opportunity for healing. So then I wanted to go back in 2 years, and I got some criticism about it, you know, not from my family, not from Wally ever, but I went back, and it was much bigger. So we had like 16,000, and then I went again, and we had over 100,000, and that just infected me.
Oh, I could imagine.
So my biggest crowd has been over 1 million people. But I would say a third of those stood for salvation. But the dinner bell is healing.
The healing.
And some of the miracles.
Always the healing.
Always the healing, yeah. Some of the miracles, like a little boy born without an eye got a new eye. I mean,
tell me about that.
Some of the miracles that happen, you are floored by it. And Kenneth, I had to have, I want to say, like general faith. I didn't have, some people have faith for specific things. There's going to be somebody here, you know, with a shoulder out of place. But basically, I don't get those until I get up there.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent time in prayer and time in the Word. So this one where we had 1 million, you know, that's really a big deal for me to have 1 million people. That's 5 acres of land.
Yes.
And we went out and you covered them with carpet because they sit on the ground and they squish close together. So you look out and see acres of people seated there and you feel in awe of God.
Oh, my.
And so, you know, I always preach a miracle of Jesus. Always have a salvation altar call, but I do something sneaky. You want to hear something?
Yes, I do.
Well, you know, how can you do follow-up? You know, because you don't want to lose them. You want to help them. And so what I do is I say, now, you know, maybe you have a family member or someone who's sick, you know, and you'd like for me to just pray over them in general tomorrow night. We'll put them in baskets up here. So, everybody wants that. So they pass out all these cards. Well, the card has your name and address and everything on it. So then they bring, and everybody wants their cards up there. So they bring them up and you have these baskets and baskets of cards. And then you have them stand, you know, and you pray over all those cards. But I always have one day when I just minister to Christians, and I may have 8 or 10,000 Christians, you know, I just spend the day with them, then they do the follow-up.
Oh, my goodness.
And they also do
God's
the ushering.
Plan. God's plan.
Yeah. So, you know, you use everything. And so I don't try to do follow-up on my own. I have literature, but I don't try to do follow-up. They do the follow-up, and they're excited about it.
Sure.
So, you know, they're pushing me to come again. They don't have to push me very hard to come again. But now, Saudi Arabia is opening up.
Praise God, Marilyn.
And Kenneth, CBS wants to come and do the meeting.
My, my, my.
And they have done another one for me in Pakistan. They did the one with the million. And I do.
I remember that.
Do you remember
yeah,
when
I
they
remember
did it?
We prayed and agreed over that.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, you're, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're right. You're right. They did it. Now they want to do another one in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, my goodness.
And that will be quite a miracle. Yes. Now, they let me because the man I work with is a strong Christian, J.B. Brown. Do you know who this is? He's
no,
a sportscaster. He's a big sportscaster, African-American. He is as turned on to God as anybody I know. He's one of the sweetest people I know. And so he is the one, you know, that goes with me from CBS and another man from CBS. And he's constantly doing things, taping things. So he said, and God is so cool. He said, are you here to convert Muslims? Now, this is going to go all over the world with CBS. And God is so good. I said, no, no, I'm not here to convert them. I'm here to transform them.
Amen. Praise.
The Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah. Yes, glory
so
to God.
We want to go back and do some more things in Pakistan, but I really want to get into Saudi. I think it's very necessary. And these imams who like me, so Kenneth, they call me mom. Sometimes
praise
being
God.
Old and being a woman is really good.
It's really good. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty.
But I think the Mideast is really opening up because when I see what's going on in Egypt, and if you have a healing meeting in Egypt, they come from every place. They come from every place.
That is marvelous.
And it isn't, you know, sometimes you're tired, you don't feel so spiritual. It's not how you feel.
No.
It's what he says.
No. Yeah, absolutely.
It's the word. Yeah.
Yeah, the word is the same whether you feel good or not.
I know. It's the same. It's not your feeling that heals them.
You know, we were in a situation a number of years ago, and it was very much like this. This was before we had, our airplane was not international, and so, and we'd been two or three different places, and I was extremely tired. I was just on the point of being exhausted.
Yeah.
And I was so ready to come home. They said, well, would you consider just going over to just across the border here a little ways? And I did not want to do it. The Lord said, go. I said, okay. And we went into that meeting that night, and I was just rummy, you know. And I so when I'm that way, I just head straight to Mark 11:23 because I can preach Mark 11:23 half asleep, you know. And so it just comes out. And besides that, that's predominantly what I'm called to teach and preach. And I did that. And I thought, well, now we can go back to the room. They said, we have prepared a. just a small dinner for you and Gloria, and so we got in there, and it was late, and I don't have any idea of what time it is in the whole world, and we're in the Switzerland, Sweden part of the world, and there was, I would say, about as many people as there here today, you know, 15, 20, maybe, in a hotel, just a little small meeting room, very nice. And by this time, it's 12:30.
They eat like.
And and this man said, Brother Copeland, before we go, would you possibly have a word for us? I opened my mouth to say, no. I didn't. And my point is, the brain doesn't have anything to do with this. And how your physical feelings don't have anything to do with this. And I opened my mouth and I began to prophesy.
Oh.
And I began to talk about national things and insights into different things.
Oh.
And these guys got out on the edge of their seat. And once we got through, and he said, has anybody talked to you about any of what we're doing? I said, no. You don't know anything about who we are?
Mm-mm.
I said, no, I don't know, other than I was just invited by the brother here to take this detour and come over and speak in the tent, which I did. He said, we are in the business of, how did he put that, Lord? I don't want to. He didn't use the word underground, but he said, we are in the process of changing this nation and taking it away from the government that has it now.
Ooh.
And I listened up and he said, you hit it, you talked it, you said it right on the mark. And Marilyn, they did it.
Wowee.
And they did it with prayer and intercession.
Oh.
And they got it done.
Oh.
And part of them, if I remember this correctly, there was one or two of them that went in to the government. Of course, this is many years ago.
Yeah.
And it changed that, where communism had been encroaching, it just changed it and just moved it out.
See, Kenneth, that's what I want to say to people. You can change the news. Because people gripe about the news. Well, they don't like this decision. They don't like this. Shut up. Change the news.
Yeah.
I believe God called you to be a news changer.
That's right.
And I believe all of us are.
I believe
that. And so I'm pointing my finger at you. It's you.
Yeah, and you can actually use you can use a news broadcast. If you control your temper and let the news speak to you. I need to be talking to this. I need to be dealing with this. And in my hour and a half or so every morning when I pray for my partners, but I don't pray for my partners first. I pray for first of all. 1 Timothy 2, first of all, you pray for all men, kings and all in authority and so forth.
Yeah.
And when you begin to move in there, now it's particularly, especially difficult for me because I love this country. And particularly, Donald Trump is the first president, no, the second president that I've known personally. I knew George Bush and had prayed with him and for him. But this man is a very unique man. And he's been especially placed in that office.
I agree.
So, and when I see people just cursing him, saying that he's a racist, there's not a racist bone in the man's body. And he loves God and it, and he doesn't have religious language.
That's obvious.
And he doesn't speak churchism.
No.
He just says what he thinks. If you don't like it, then you can, you know. So, but I know his heart. And I know the people around him very, very closely, the people that are around him.
Yes.
And, but when you begin to pray and you take the time, you have to do it every day.
Absolutely.
I do it every day. It has to become part of your regimen.
Right.
And if you're too busy, then you're just too busy. And I'm a busy man, but I get up 5:45.
Go for it.
Go out on my deck.
Yeah.
I don't like to be inside. Gloria said, the older I get, the more Indian I get. I don't like the indoors at all.
Okay.
I go out on my deck and it gets wintertime. I got heaters, you know.
Yeah.
And so, and our little place, the steamboat, I got heaters on the deck.
So. Good for you.
Anyway, the whole thing of it is, I have two things that I have to do every day. I have to pray in the name of Jesus. And I have to pray for my nation. I have to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I have to pray for my president and the vice president. And then I have to pray for all of my partners all over the world.
Of course.
And I take countries and nations. We have staff all over the world and go through all of that. It takes an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
And then comes the treadmill.
Oh. Yuck, three times. Yeah.
But you got to do it.
You do.
I have a mandate on my life to live this thing out until Jesus comes, or I'm 120 years old before I go. God asked me to do that. I have to do it. Well, you're my inspiration, girl. I can do this thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I haven't set 120 for myself. You know, my son-in-law has. He always said, you're going to live
for to you.
Yeah, for me. Well, you're going to live to 120. And I say, shut up. So.
Well, I didn't jump to that conclusion quickly. Gloria began to talk about that in healing school. And particularly from the footnote in the 90th Psalm, from the Classic Amplified, and then began to talk about Genesis 6:3. And that just began to grow, and it began to grow and grow. And suddenly, what I call it, just kind of went widescreen. I began to see that I didn't have the right to choose what long life was. That already had been spoken by God.
Oh, my goodness. I wish you hadn't told me that.
No, I said I, not you, okay, not okay. Marilyn, Kenneth. And because he just kept talking to me about that and kept talking to me. And then, Marilyn, what I saw, all the food laws are based on that. A long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. Sure. It's based on that because that's in the first six chapters of Genesis.
Yeah.
Anyway, you don't quit.
No.
You never quit.
That's the big key.
Yeah.
It's not over till you win.
That's the name of the book. Glory to
God. That's the name of the book because...
And we're out of time.
Okay.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.